I know that The apology that you have received from Honorable Mbena is apologizing due to the agent has passed away. That apology is not acceptable. We know the apology, but it's not acceptable. We are accepted to be here in Parliament when the work of Parliament is to be done. All of us have important party work. There's no party work that's not important. Honorable von Lingen, do you still want us to vote? Because now we can square the vote. Honorable Rauda will... No. What he will do, I know him. He will remain neutral on the matter. Sorry? No, I believe so. What about that?
I think just to make sure everybody, when it suits us, it goes with the DA, when it suits us, it goes with the ANC. We're moving in the right direction.
Colleagues from DTI, that's one serious conversation panel. Sorry, comedy from tourism. I'm so used to him in DTI, and I'm looking at the minutes here of the last meeting. Colleagues, can I then request that we consider the minutes of the last meeting? It has been distributed to us before. Our meeting was on the 29th of October. We have had a briefing by the Department of Trade and Industry on their annual report 2013-2014. I remember the atmosphere in the meeting was very welcome. Both the presentation that was made by the Chief Financial Officer on behalf of the Director General, that was covered in page one. On page two, we had the global aggressive economic context that was given to us by one of the economists at DTI. Then we had the DTI strategic goals, where many of the members serving in that department did their presentation. Then we had the financial officer on 314 giving us financial management and audit outcomes. I will come back to that at the end. Everybody then on 315 presented to us challenges faced by DTI. The committee comments, as well as that, I will come back to the committee. Welcomed at the briefing by DTI and congratulated the department on the unqualified audit opinion that it received. We also then, in item 5, adopted the minutes of the previous meeting. Can I accordingly request a proposal for the acceptance or rejection of this minutes? What was it then?
Adoption.
I can see that our Queen wants to second what you say. Thank you very much, Honorable Dikhane, for coming to the minutes. And we're down to the formal business of the minutes. Can we now ask for our colleagues from DTI, Mr. your team, Deputy Minister, it's not recorded as such. It's tourism. My apology. Can we ask Deputy Minister Klasa to lead the team in the presentation that they're making to us today? Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. A very good morning to the entire Select Committee, the honorable members. Our team here is led by DDG, Mrungu is acting DG, just to say on the chair that the DG of the department is accompanying the minister to the World Trade Market. DDG Mrungu is acting director general. Thank you very much for this opportunity. By the time the department makes the presentation, our introduction, to say who are we and who do you want us to do it first, who all of each and every one of the team is, and then I get into the presentation.
Yes,
let's have to the introduction.
Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mohuma, I'm the DG for Domestic Tourism, acting as DG as the Deputy Minister of DG.
We're going to ask you to change your seat if you need to speak, because that mic is apparently not working.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members. My name is Stephen Pierce. I'm Chief Director for the Americas and Western Europe. I'm acting as DDG for International Tourism Management. The DDG has also travels to London. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson, member. My name is Stephen Pierce. I'm Director of Business Development and Risk Management.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. My name is Larissa Matakara, and I'm the Chief Director for the Digital Responsibility Implementation Program.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. Derek von Skalberg, I'm the Chief Operation Officer in the National Department of Tourism.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. I'm Ralph Ackerman. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Tourism.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sharman Nassu. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Minister's Office.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Von Mugota. I'm the Media Liaison Officer from the Deputy Minister's Office.
Honourable members, I'm Peter Nikak, I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Director General.
Deputy Minister, if you would allow us, just because we only have one visitor and they're always here, so let me ask our colleague to introduce himself.
Morning, everybody. It's Noel Sen from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much, Chair. It is indeed humbling to be before the Select Committee this morning to talk about tourism. In our brief overview, we are coming, our department is 5 years in existence today. After our previous session, our previous term when tourism was made to be a standalone portfolio and one of the six key growth sectors of our economy. And our operating environment is based on interdependencies with other spheres of government, as well as the strong participation by the private sector. An integrated and coordinating planning in tourism between the three spheres of government is very key, and at the same time, not excluding the organized tourism industry that's having a common approach and synergies when implementing our tourism project. Our National Department of Tourism has therefore established relationships as well with the academic institutions and other knowledge institutions for the development of the knowledge within the field of chosen through research. We also have our entity, which is South African Tourism, that also plays a pivotal role in terms of marketing the country within and outside South Africa. And we also, within the period, established what we call the National Tourism Conventions Bureau, which creates a strong focus on marketing and setting South Africa as a meeting destination. And the opportunity creates also an opportunity for development of affordable products and packages for domestic tourism market in order for domestic tourism to go and contribute meaningfully into the economy. I think that's what the chairperson was relating to how our people are made to also travel and reap benefits out of the products that we have. Later on, when we meet with the South African tourism, they'll share on the strategies that they are implementing around domestic tourism and the kind of packages that they usually put together in order to make South Africans to travel. Our highlights over the period is the gazetting of our new tourism act in the year 2014, Act number 3 of 2014. Which was targeted on the 7th of April 2014. The Act paved way for promotion of responsible tourism for the benefit of South Africa and for the enjoyment of all its citizens and foreign visitors. It also sets a great playing field for effective domestic and international marketing platform of South Africa as a tourist destination. The promotion of quality tourism products and services, growth and development of the sector, among others. And on transformation, the department has implemented what we call the Tourism to the Chief Council Plan of Action, which covers enterprise development and provincial procurement, as well as skills development, management control, and ownership. This was in line with the department's goal of increasing the contribution of the tourism sector to inclusive economic participation through specific initiatives and platforms to promote compliance with the tourism sector specific BEE scorecard. And in terms of our SME development program, the department has entered into an agreement with the Tourism Enterprise Partnership, which is a partnership between business and the National Department of Tourism to ensure that economic support takes place to improve performance and increase the profitability of SMEs by focusing on skills, product development, quality assurance, and access to finance. The aim is to actively support the creation of new jobs and maintenance of existing jobs, as well as to increase the participation of black tourism enterprises in the economy by focusing on enterprise development and market access for enterprises that are predominantly black-owned. Later on, you get details on how that program has performed over the period. And as part of our social responsibility implementation program, we also facilitate the development of tourism infrastructure projects under the Expanded Public Works Program through the use of labor-intensive methods targeting unemployed youth, women, people with disabilities, and SMEs. And through this program, the department has created 2,797 full-time equivalent jobs during the period under review. We also, as part of this very same program, have training programs, which include our health youth training program, our tourism budget program, and a capacity building program, which the National Department of Tourism uses to implement our rural tourism strategy, which we ensure that a developmental approach to the packaging of rural tourism products and opportunities in South Africa are enhanced. And the approach was also meant to prioritize special needs with potential to stimulate growth of the rural tourism sector in the country. We will then, in the actual presentation by program, indicate the specific success sectors and also highlight challenges. Our South African tourism also implemented the international and domestic marketing strategies that led to us having more than 13 million foreign visitor arrivals in the country, about 12 million domestic trips that were taken into the country, and also created a brand awareness that stood at about 79%. The South African National Convention Bureau that I spoke about earlier on supported about 57 leads throughout the period, which targets about 94,893 delis into the country. And we also have one other flagship, which is our Lily Zeller Awards, where we coordinated all our awards under one umbrella, Lily Zeller Awards. It was in its second year in the last year, where we recognized excellence in the tourism industry. And also we also are proud to have what we call our grading council, which also looks into the issue of quality assurance, and they will be presenting later on. We'll be teasing into how far we've gone, but it is one area that we edge, because we are saying South Africa is a long-haul destination. Therefore, when our visitors come here, they must get value for money. But not only targeting international ones, also targeting the South Africans themselves. As they spend their money traveling into the country, they must get value for their money. I will then allow the DDG to make presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, I'm going to give a brief background in terms of where it has come from. We started to work in MS on the 1st April 2010, being a standalone department. And in 2012, a new structure was developed. We started implementing that structure in 2012, which consists of four branches: a new branch, the policy and legislative branch, the international branch, which I would like to make a distinction here, that our international tourism management branch is mainly to deal with policy when it comes to the international sphere. And our SAT, it is a marketing arm. And we also have domestic tourism management, which also started to function in 2012 as a new branch, which mainly is province focused. We have the two regions which were divided in terms of provinces, as well as the SRI, which is part of the branch. I would like also to indicate that over the years, for the past 3 years, the department was able to get unqualified audit. And for the year in question, or the year under review, we were able to get a clean audit. I would also like to indicate that in the recent results of the Beijing Annual Public Sector Recruiting Award, it revealed that we came third in the top 20 list of both the national and the provincial departments, and the first two being provincial departments, meaning that as a national department, we are occupying the first place. The Annual Public Sector Reporting Award was introduced in the public sector by the Southern African Institute of Government Auditor Society to recognize the pursuit of excellence in annual reports published by all provincial and national departments. We also want to indicate that in terms of paying creditors, we have managed to do that within 6.1 days on average against the 30-day payment rule. In terms of representation by designated groups, we have also managed to pass the mark of 50% for women representation, 4.5% for people with disabilities, and we're at 93.9% black representation, and this was maintained against annual target of 89%. We have a risk management committee, which was established to provide effective risk management to to assist the accounting officer in determining his responsibilities towards risk and the risk management strategy was implemented, which embraces identification, measurement, analysis, and assessment of risk and the resultant risk reporting. Wherein the question of we are trying to make sure that we reduce the risk that we have identified. But at the same time, we did have a challenge when it came to predetermined objectives, but we're able to institute currently a management process to manage the measurement of performance and to verify the evidence. We have experienced this challenge in one area in particular where we have a partnership with TEP in terms of we were not able to preliminarily get audited figures. But as we move forward in this current financial year, all the figures that we put in our quarterly report are audited. Our presentation is going to be in this manner. We'll have an AG report coming from the Frank Dalgate, and finance will be coming from Ralph Ackerman, our CFO, and the programs will be presented by the DDGs and those who are representing DDGs who are not. Without waste of time, Chair, I'll hand over to Dr. to take us through the AG report.
Before we introduced it, I listened to what it was that you were presenting, and it was very helpful. Would it be fair to request that you also make a copy of that available to I can't get you my name now. To Martin's Erasmus, so that he will be able to distribute that to other places. Thank you, Jen. We will be delivering our presentation for AG's report, financial information and program information. I think at the back, I've included two slides that just give the gist of our insight issues. I think the first, just to say that, as the acting detail indicated, as a department that is establishing operational as a standalone department on the 1st of April, since that same time I have unaudited, unqualified audits. We've worked hard in sort of to achieve a key audit in the last financial year. And I think that was a real key effort of all the employees of the department and the leadership on the executive quality side. On our predetermined objectives, the AG recorded incorrect annual performance in relation to program based in tourism. That was a small technical issue in the sense that we included the tourism enterprise figures. I didn't know that it was not audited figures at that stage. It was being audited and those misstatements have been corrected in the financial report and annual report. In on the financial statement, no material misstatements, and I think that all the members know that this is why the AG likes to establish that there was no misstatements. Compliance with laws and regulations, we complied with all of that was recorded. Internal controls, no significant deficiencies or weaknesses were identified. On the consultants, and I think the members will recall, about 3 years ago, it was a study undertaken by the agency about consultants. So as a department, I think our proud to say that we limit the use of consultants. And there was no significant findings related to consultants and the same in relation to fraud matters. That is just a summary of what you want to get of what was in the AG's report.
You'll see that most of our expenditure is 99.7% and we didn't plan it, it just happened. Administration, our spending was 99.7%, policy and knowledge services 99.7%, international tourism management 92.4%, domestic tourism management 99.7%, and in total our spending was 99.5%. The next slide just gives us a breakdown to show that administration was 14% and policy and risk service, which includes our grants and payment to our public entities and tourism, is 60%, and then international tourism is a small percent, 2.5%, and then domestic tourism, which includes our EPWP projects, that is 23%, that is the state of our agent. Next one. You can see on the economical classification, this is just a breakdown to show the spending on the compensation of the employees and consumer services. You will see that the majority of our budget is transfer payments, is 1.1 billion, of a total of 1.5 billion. And our variance by the end of the year was 7.9 million. The next slide is an indication of transfer payments. This is a green part, this is 76%, and then our current payments, 22%, and then you can see the capital and the payment for financial assets is very small. Next one. The next one is a breakdown of the money that was left on our budget at the end of the financial year, 7.9 billion. We did not apply for any rollovers to national treasury because we did not have commitments which we could apply for the rollover. Thank you.
Thank you. In program one is the administration program. So in this program is the ministry. Our human resource, IT, legal services, the building side of our department, legal services, and our government support. This is a cross-cutting environment because some of the performance indicators are also related to the broader department. So the first key strategic objective was dealing with organizational performance and management systems. This is where we deal with our annual report, our strategic plan, and annual performance plans that need to be submitted quarterly and reported, and as far as that concerns, we make all our targets. We've also, and I think that indeed you referred to that, we've established now a committee in the previous year cabinet, and Treasury has indicated new rules in the establishment of the risk committees. We have fully established that committee is operational. What we haven't achieved is that review of the fourth quarter, because basically we've got four quarters, we started on the 1st of April with the new system. So the fourth quarter review can only happen in the new financial, and I think it was just sort of calculation from our side, not just sort of what we did. I think that I can also say that the risk committee is very good in the sense of all making sure that we manage the risk upfront to make sure that we deal with problems in our work environment, which ultimately results in good audits. The next one is the organization performance management system, and this one dealing with the format and the cabinet structure, the outcome values reports, all those issues that fit into the national government structure reporting to the deliverables. In this case, we review internal protocol and annual basis in alignment with cabinet rulings and the board that we utilize the general board and the committees underneath that. Then we also carry out our mandate as far as the PFMA keeper in overseeing the management of the South African tourism as a public entity. They report to the minister that the certain of the functions that they work through the designated accounting officer, being the director general, and we do annual oversight reports on their performance, which are submitted to the executive authority, and also having the bilateral meetings part of our sort of framework in dealing with the oversight function. Then as far as legal services is concerned, we've divided in different portfolios. One is managing for clients, related in the compliance with service delivery charges and the legislative program. You recall that also in this year we've been ultimately the president has signed the new tourism active legislation. So this all inside that. Basically, we timeline how long it will take to do certain things so that we enforce service delivery, and as far as that is concerned, we've met absolutely our expectations. The 8% of tourist complaints, because this is something new that we've instituted already in the previous financial year, to start looking at tourism complaints, although the new Act only has given us that mandate to do that. So we preempted the authority and start putting systems in place for us to start managing that project. And our task was to refer all of this. We are not the ombudsperson or ombudsman that's been working the eye, but we are dealing with the complaints coming into our domain, referring to the provinces, referring to entities, referring to other departments, referring to the DASA or the TBCSA, to try and stimulate that process that we can deal with complaints. We set a stage target in the work of our DG as far as latency that is concerned. I think the members will recall that it was announced late in 2 years ago, a speech by the State of the Nation, that government should try and be working with 12% limit of vacancies. We set a target of 8%. We've achieved 8.6% to sort of manage that process and make sure that we really sort of make sure that our vacancy rate is managed properly. Then our representation, I think that the detail referred to this, is that maintain a minimum of 50% representation for women. At the end of the financial year, we were at 54%. Then disability as well, the national target is 2%. We as a department to say that we need to drive that all the because we are driving universal accessibility in the tourism industry. So we also need to set examples in dealing with that, and we've achieved a 4.5% disability rate within the workplace. And I can also state this is through all levels, whether it's in management, middle management, or in the low levels. We're not focusing on where you can easily reach the target. So that is applicable throughout our round of the department. And then maintain 89% black representation. The next one is dealing with our PDMS system, our performance management system. We've complied with all those prescripts, managing it, and I think this leads back perhaps also to the performance of the department. If you manage performance management properly, you get the results on other areas. The work skills plan, as the new department already 3 years ago, we started with our work skills to identify the specific needs in the department. And in this instance also, I think that Victor will report in his report that they've also had interaction with the universities to sort of set up different mechanisms. In compliance with labor relations issues, 100%, meeting our timelines, dealing with grievances, all of that will be the time frame. And then one of our vital issues in the department is health and wellness. We have four environmental health and wellness programs that we need to sort of deal with, that has been described by the EPSA. But apart from that, we also have another health program in the department to deal with that. Then, on provide and maintain measures to protect people, property, the number of security threats and risk assessments. We've done four in the year, and I can say, Chair, honorable members, that in all four reports, being in a new office, a new building, we've got a very good report from SAS and from NIA as far as the management of our systems internally. Percentage of communication networks. This is the management of our information technology, and we meet our target as far as this is concerned. Although we did have some sort of problems at one stage in October, where there was a power failure and it had some sort of interruption on our equipment, that we managed to sort of ultimately deliver on our target set. Then, fourth point, the annual financial assessment. I think this is also related back to our audit outcomes, that we comply with all the prescriptive findings that are laid down by the PFMA and submitting it into the system. As far as BEE compliance is concerned, is that we only make use of service providers that fall within the amendment of the BEE camp and dealing with that issue. The other non-commercial issue in relation of the industry being dealt with in program two. Then internal audit services, we've made all our sort of internal audit operational plans, and ultimately this reverts back. If we do our internal audit well, it reverts back to when the audit general comes in with advance for the team environment as far as that's concerned. Then on the communication front, all the communication implementation plan activities have been made in the financial year. And something that is in summary, what was the key performance indicator for program one?
Thank you very much for accepting. Program two, we focus on policy related work. That will be policy analysis, policy development, planning. We also focus on audit services, which deals with some of the information that you actually receive as end users, be it matters pertaining to tourism statistics or pertaining to tourism research, and so on and so forth. But we also are responsible for the Office of the Tourist Guide Register nationally and coordination of the provincial offices as well, and also responsible tourism. We have a number of objectives that we focused on in the previous year. In the A&E area, we focused on the development of the state of tourism report. Now, this report helps with getting a sense of exactly where we were at in terms of the broader performance of the industry. Year to year, we look at some specifics with regard to some sectors, and we're able to then be able to say, for instance, in the coming year, what we'll be doing to look at the development of new establishments and so on, and whether they'll be coming through the pipeline and so on and so forth. So we take things, we go through the team, and we're able to look at what are the developments around that. We also give broader information about the global state of tourism, the state of tourism here at home, and what are the things to look out for. Of course, we continue to monitor the implementation of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which honorable members would be aware that it's due for review, mid-term review in 2015. But we are also due here, honorable chair, for a presentation of this specific matter in more detail. We also worked on some models. What we're looking at, honorable members would be aware that our target with regard to what we intend to achieve in the NTSS, we talk about foreign visa arrival. And that was because at the time that we did the strategy, we did not have tools in place that were going to enable us to project tourists and that particular point. So this is the kind of tools that we're working at. We're also working on tools to look at where exactly do which subsectors actually drive the generation of jobs, which obviously would enable us to look at if we are putting investment, which areas really are the areas that basically use ultimately. We also looked at the bylaws, but what we're looking at is how different places are probably lifting out certain things to be able to be more competitive, so that this could then be extended in selection. So these are some of the things that we'll share with the municipalities when we go to the February conference, which is the local government conference. In the broader policy environment space, we started with the work on tools to be able to implement legislation that the Deputy Minister was speaking about. And in that regard, there's a number of regulations that are supposed to be developed. But honorable members will know the first step would be to develop the framework for those particular regulations so that the policy issues around the regulations are actually dealt with. whatever will come to the point where it can be drafted in a legal manner. So we developed the framework for the ones that would regulate the whole environmental travel guiding, as well as the information management area. We have something called the National Travel Information Management System, which is prescribed by the Act. So the bulk of what we're doing, what will be the industry, the sub-sector that would be involved in these things, and then in what way it's done, and that will then culminate into the actual regulation. We also developed something called resilience strategy, which in the main, we are saying when there is economic crisis and all that, we have to be able to foresee some of these things as they are coming before we get to that particular point. And what it emphasizes on what it actually gave us is what we should be cutting on it. We need to track what is going on in this particular environment consistently, continuously, to be able to foresee whether it's any emerging trend, any such as the trend is emerging, what is likely going to be the impact of such. We are doing some work which is, you could call it exploratory, you could call it analytical. We're doing work on areas with potential that have land settlement involved. And the purpose of this work is to be able to see areas with opportunities where we could actually then provide the necessary support for people that want to pursue that particular land use option. You find a place, it's got lodge, and in a settlement, and the community has agreed that it would like to pursue this going forward as the land use option. So in those instances, we would have cases, if I would give an example, in the cases like the Makulike community, if you look at the community like that, you would realize they opted that certain is going to be their land use option. There were a number of concessions run, international groups that are actually running some of these things on their behalf, and so on and so on. So we are looking at those kinds of opportunities. We also look at edits. Essentially what we're looking at is the extent to which our core markets determines, like our interest in their portfolio review, to what extent do they actually have the necessary edit capacity and so on. And what the parallel that I'm sharing there and so on with regards to potential to actually bring in that investment by the private sector. We have been doing some training for funding, and it's in two folds. The training that we do through the University of Pretoria, the course of the University of Pretoria, the training that we do for practitioners, but it's also training that we do for policymakers. So it's two different things. We go to the same with the officials, so to say. In terms of the implementation of the NTSS, we have a delivery forum. This is a forum comprised of both public and private sector. It's chaired by the Director of Economic Policy Project. And that way we are able to identify opportunities emanating from the implementation of the NTSS, but also challenges that we both need to work on collectively. It is a very open session and very robust, which allows us to be able to really attempt to craft some of these strategies that could assist us in getting to the implementation level that we really desire. We also convene something that we call a tourism leadership dialogue. And topical issues are brought in the honorable members on the basis of what needs to be resolved at a particular point in time. So in the previous year, among other things, we had tribal facilitation. We dealt with the issue of skills development, which CDG Mruwen deals with. But in the main, you've got a real dialogue taking place between practices and the public sector on this matter. In terms of research and knowledge management, we have been developing tools for purposes of use by the outcome third parties in this particular thing. Responsible management for instance, we have a national standard on responsible tolerance. But before anyone could actually get the point of implementing such a standard, the businesses would want to know how close are they to the point where they can actually consider full implementation of this. So they are able to go through their own self-assessment, and these are the tools that we're talking about. Similarly, we did similar tools for local government to say, to get to the point where you can actually say, this municipality is really a tourism municipality, and the focus should now really turn to tourism if it was not necessarily on tourism. What are some of the basic questions you've got to ask in process on and get to these things? We have this tourism knowledge portal, which our vision is that this thing must, in the long term, actually become the hub for tourism knowledge, where whatever you're looking for, whether it's matter pertinent to the research that has been conducted and findings around it, and so this is where you would go to be able to deal with whatever issues. And this is where you would also go to be able to get all these self-help tools that would be there. In the 5 years, we would be waiting on this to become really a hub of knowledge activities and the long-term overall. The next one is the information framework. Here we are trying to get to a point where there is more flexibility, more standardization. When you come across a visitor information center, you know it is a visitor information center. You are able to identify it properly, and you know you can expect certain kinds of services that come with what the visitor information center should. And this is also something that we are rolling out over the period. We have done a little bit of a pilot with the visitor information centers that were built in preparation for the 2010 World Cup, courtesy of the Rafa Lakano EPWP problem. And we have gone through the first phase, which was actually the branding. And so this is in more detail part of what we think is, again, with the investors, we developed a comprehensive module that deals with how to run a visitor information center. And it has private sector perspective to it and a public sector perspective to it, because you've got a whole number of visitor information centers that are owned by municipalities, but you also have a whole number of them that are actually owned by private sector. So that training also is rolled out so that we're able to get people to have a common understanding of what this is all about. We have a project where we're dealing with the National Tourism Information Gateway, where we target sports offensive, and the sports offensive will then put an information facility. I would encourage the government to use this facility. We have one that is operational at our international airport. The year that we are reviewing, we were doing a pilot on it to be able to get the level which we're going to apply as we roll them out. In the coming years, then we will also be dealing with the Kinshasa International and also the Cape Town International. In this specific one, I would really encourage you, and the other one, I would really encourage your local member to take use of the facility and give us feedback in terms of what are the things that we can improve with regards to the service. It's right in front of the international arrivals at the Oakland International, the yellow desk, trying to put it in there. It deals with a whole host of issues where we don't end up with people going to wrong hands and asking for specific information and being channeled to the wrong places. And the wrong things and actually are not getting it. Honorable Chairperson, we did a couple of studies last year, and I would like to put a little bit of context to this study so that the honorable members can then see what they are all these studies. The study on service excellence that we are doing with the University of Johannesburg, it's three phases of it actually. The first phase that we did, which was the year before the one under review. The first phase of it was to get perception of customers about the services that are being rendered. Last year what we're doing was to then speak to the various business establishments at all levels, whether it's board, whether it's management, whether it's automation, to get an understanding of what are their policies, what are their practices, what actually happens in there, and whether it was an internal thing, the board actually wanted things to be done that way, and management is actually promoting these practices. So we move from there. Now we, in the coming year, we'll be able to see out of this study, we'll be able to see what are the actual success factors when it comes to service excellence. What makes those that people said were doing good and there were certain practices related to them, what made them actually do good as such. So we are going to take that and be able to get to a point where the investor will be in a position to develop training a problem, whether it's a problem at the board level, or whether it's a problem at the management level, or even at an operational level. But we'll actually then be able to integrate this also in the normal operations that we actually do. This, from the investor, will say it will actually be useful for them beyond just tourism. They'll be able to import this to other vacancies and other industries as well. So these are the kind of things that we are looking at. In terms of Pretoria, we are working on cross-border guiding organizations, if one could put it in that way. And similarly, at this point, to get to a point where we are harmonizing trade and not any other thing because of the insensitivity with regard to these are sovereign states, and there are certain things that they will not be able to do, we will not be able to do it. But as we do want a situation out of which way, an operator on South Africa is able to hand over to an operator in Botswana, in Zimbabwe, and say, this client of mine would like to go to this particular basis on the other side, but you understand that this person has gone through someone similar orientation in terms of being able to guide on the other side as well. And that's what we are working towards. What we also try to do on the participants see the potential, particularly in the research, there is potential for duplication. Sometimes it may not necessarily be so visible because it's just looking at one letter from different perspectives. But we have this thing that we've been calling the research agenda, which is really what I call a better way. But the essence of it is to be able to know what studies are taking place in the province, what studies are taking place in the study, what studies are taking place in different universities and so on, so that we don't actually end up doing the same thing, but we are able to actually take this into a whole different language. We have a challenge, another challenge, that the traditional tourism economy is very difficult to measure in the context of what at home we would call distance. It's very, very difficult thing to measure because you will not have a balance of agents at the provincial level, or even below the provincial level, at district level. It will not be possible to do that. So there are certain broader indicators that we've identified that are that we can be able to train. We help us be able to see what's happening in the different parts of the culture as such. But it requires that those that are active in that particular environment feed in the information. So that is the hardest place to get over. But in terms of the broader indicators, we've been able to define them, but we now need to be able to say, okay, the information must come. It must come at this kind of regular interval. So the capacity is not the same across the country. So that is the hardest place to both get over and be able to get to a point where we can actually get the necessary information and agree in terms of the board. In terms of the broad-based value economy and empowerment, in the main, the focus has been with the change of the codes from the media and the amendment of the act, the 12B chapter council has sharply focused on making sure that we do the alignment of the tourism, current tourism code with the amended CPI code. Process which should conclude in time for the implementation in May next year. But besides that, there's a plan that they have developed as well, which of course does require reforming. There are things that they will be able to do. There are things that they will not be able to do immediately because it will not be possible within the resources that we've got. An example of the things that they will be dealing with in the coming year, we are looking at a database that focuses on enterprise and supplier development. But the intention in this context is that there is a recognition from the council that tourism suppliers are not necessarily people in tourism. It's not to be MBA and so on. It could be people that are in agriculture that are supplying all these fresh produce, eggs, whatever it is, that are used in those particular establishments. It's people that are supplying linen and so on and so forth. So this is the kind of database that they would like to see, but which has linkages with those that must be able to procure from it, but they will be able to also then end their contracts with regard to supplier development and development. And needless to say also, the women is not a problem in this particular context also. So we think that this is where the transformation agenda would be. Responsible tourism, there is a focus on implementation of universal accessibility in tourism. We have got two cities that were identified, what we call it a UAE destination pilot. This is the Queen and the city of Cape Town. Now these two cities, what we've done here is to look at the establishment in terms of the universal accessibility, but the other side of it has been to look at the accessibility of the attraction. Now the accessibility of this attraction and the establishment, ultimately where we want to get it, to be able to define clearly how accessible is this and what needs to be done. So a plan of action would then come out of this. Of course, it works that we're doing directly with the two things, and we will be able to then say, these are the things, and where we are able to do some work, we'll be able to do that work. It was sparked by the fact that there isn't, even globally, there isn't places where you could take a large group of people with special needs and they could actually go there and have a conference. This is a competitiveness issue. We would like to position ourselves in that particular context. The UAE Impact, this is a process which was done through a self-assessment by the different provincial parks. But it has given us some very good insights. And in terms of intervention, the first step that we would like to deal with is to bore out and create a certain level of awareness, but also some capacity building on thought with regards to how the people that live in those countries are going to be able to relate and serve people better. Almost the same way the airports do it. If there's a person better, they are highly competent in that. So we would like to see a certain level of capacity developed in that respect. We can move, I think. We can move this minister. Yeah, I think so.
Thank you. On the international tourism management, I think I better read in front of me. Very quickly, the first half was on briefing reports on markets, either country or region, per year, which 16 were done. This is one per region that we offered to be structuring per quarter. So this is in addition to the constant monitoring of country profiles and updating of country profiles of just upwards of 200 countries that we focus on particular regions left out focus areas for the minister there. Then on the number of initiatives facilitated to reduce barriers to tourism growth, we have an MOU between ourselves and Home Affairs, which is an instrument to manage and interact on the issues between us. And that is an MOU that has been in place and that is managed by International Tourism Management. On the number of South African missions reported for institutionalizing tourism abroad, 126 missions, all of our missions. Yeah, a key task for the development of a business planning model, which tries to guide our missions abroad in the planning and execution of the tourism function. The missions are our broadest footprint abroad. So that was developed and it was presented to all the missions at those midterm reviews. So we doubled abroad where the different regions of our missions were meeting together. Then on policy positions developed to enhance tourism competitiveness, a policy position was developed looking at the background, looking at the best practice and experiences on e-visa issues to gear the department to engage in this area of work and interact with other stakeholders. And the annual report on international agreements and strategic national priorities facilitated. We have a host of agreements, bilateral agreements, and this is the traditional bilateral cooperation which most departments have. And if the report focuses on the state of play of all of the agreements, where we have prioritized those where we do need to focus on. And it then sums up also the activity that is going to take place under the ambit of the agreements. Then on the multilateral forum, for which participation is reported, there are 8 multilateral fora where we have participated in. And the objectives, they are varied. Some of them are very key leading knowledge and research development, but as a specific development, for example, the tourism satellite count comes to the UNWTO. Some training had been done previously through this channel, the UNWTO, for the development of our own TSA, and also then assisted the Southern African, well, and from the Southern African countries with the development of the TSA. And that's an important international.
Thank you, Chair. The domestic tourism management branch is being involved in the implementation of the domestic tourism strategy. There is a plan attached to that strategy, as well as the rural tourism culture and heritage and the meetings that are attached to it. We also have a survival in the branch. We invited to attend the tourism trials in the north provinces and the 4 provinces in the southern. We are tasked to implement 15 programs coming out of the domestic tourism growth strategy. When we did the plan, it was indicated that 18 programs, that was a miscalculation. Because we go into the AET, the actual numbers that come out is 15.
some of these three programs and move them through projects to the business plan, and then I'll be taken from the business plan. We also have to come up with a feasibility study on the pilot budget for the resort concept. And this is an exercise that we have done with IDC. And the outcome of the study indicated that whatever that we can implement should be catered for within the SRI program. The other issue that the AG wanted to see was for us to implement the domestic tourism growth strategy, and indicated that it's a long-term strategy. Until 2020, we cannot implement it within a single year. We also have some administrative issues that we need to do in terms of ensuring that there is alignment on our strategies with tourism. And we do that through the working groups, as well as the task team that we set out to make sure that our plans are starting to align with the happening in the province. There is a social tourism concept which we develop mainly to look into how can those who are not affording to be able also to enjoy the traveling. And we are still working on that. But currently what we have support a group of pensioners in terms of when they visit, we're able to give them information in terms of where to go. We also had an education awareness through the radio. Most of the Lechula radios were targeted to be able to increase awareness in terms of making them aware that it's not expensive to travel as long as we're able to spend less ahead of time. We also gave support to two events. One is Bogo Marika Festival, done in February. With the cultural calabash in Northwest, we had to reduce some of our interaction in this event because when we were interacting with the province, our counterpart department, the Department of Arts and Culture in the province indicated that it is within their category. So it was a question of the two departments within the province to really agree so that we are able to come in and. We also did an assessment in the Egg World Heritage Site, which is now informing the current work in terms of doing signage within those sites. We did a pavilion at Indaba as a way of creating awareness in terms of our Egg World Heritage Site. For the past 3 years, we were providing funding to the Majesty Dragon Group, so that they are able to come up with the product along the route. Last year was the final year when we gave them funding, but we are still continuing to give them support in terms of wanting to come up. This is that route that also includes the food. The other issue was true. We were able to source funding from the ODA in terms of the dinosaur interpretive center that we want to build in the next financial year. The proposal that we sent to Treasury, we were able to source in 120 million. We are starting with training in this current financial year. We also have capacity building within the property node, which is Kanyakule, Bushback Bridge, as well as Bele in the Makungube area. Basically here to say the communities around this area need to know the potential that tourism can bring. It is a capacity building which is not credited saying at what Mr. Karaka is doing with the local government in the University of Pretoria. But here we are bringing in traditional leaders, we are bringing in councillors, we are bringing in officials, as well as the business within those areas to start interacting and seeing how can they sanitize as they work on this tourism. We have the National Tourism Career Expo, which normally is hosted by a province for 3 consecutive days. In this instance, it was hosted by Eastern Cape, this year was the last year for Eastern Cape to hold it. The main issue is also to advocate for tourism to be taken as a serious subject within the sphere of education. One of the things that we are also doing in this instance is to capacitate, if I may use the word, educators who are teaching tourism within the high school to have information in terms of what this thing, how this tourism can be taken further. And at the same time, using the Federation of Hotels to help them to be placed so that they have an understanding. Because some of these teachers, they have never managed to travel, they have never been at the hotel. But one thing is that the students are able to understand what to do. We also have a training on food safety assurance. This is one of the new areas in terms of the industry where they are very weak. And as a council was saying, if our food is a non-safe food country, our international tourists is bring us people are become sick because we have eaten the poisoned food, it will make people not to travel. So this is a training that will start to make us to move towards that. We're supposed to have, by the time we close this financial year, to have trained or placed 180 unemployed graduates, but by the time we're supposed to put on this report, only 40 were placed, but as we speak now, all 100 have been placed. And it's showing that it's a place where a lot of jobs can be created as we move forward. On Tourism Month, it's an annual activity which is celebrated on the 27th of September internationally. This past year, it was celebrated in Northwest, and this current financial year it was celebrated in Northern Cape. Next year, it will be celebrated in Mbogo. Also, in terms of ensuring that we create awareness around tourism. We also, when we started as a new department, we profiled provinces in order to understand what are there and where are we supposed to focus. So we came up with two integrated support packages, mainly for the North and South regions. And when we coined our performance indicator, we said we'll develop and implement. Unfortunately, the implementation, this AG couldn't really pick up, even though we knew that we are doing projects like capacity building, we are doing projects in terms of the SRI. So they informed that they were disjointed, hence the deviation. In terms of the incentive program, we're supposed to have launched the program by March this year, which didn't happen. We had some capacity issues related to that. And on the SMME development, we have a partnership with Tourism Enterprise, which is helping us to ensure that we meet our mandate in terms of enterprise development. Most of the deviations that you see here is the effort that they have made to achieve. It's only on one area, which is rural enterprises support at LES, which there was an underperformance, and maybe because of they started with a registration fee in the beginning of last year, which also included the rural enterprises, and they couldn't afford this money. This is an area where, in terms of predetermined objectives as a department, we follow ourselves one in 2020, because the figures that we have, they were unaudited by the time we submitted the report to the AG, but we are able to correct that after they've given us the audited figures. The last one is on the full-time equivalent jobs created by the Social Responsibility Implementation Program. This program, before we became a standalone department, it it was classified as environment. Even now, it's still classified as environment. As a result, it really built the infrastructure related program. We are not using what the other infrastructure departments were using in terms of the treatment. We found ourselves having to request for treasury as well as public work to reduce the target so that we focus on making sure that what we put on the ground in terms of infrastructure will be able to help us move in a manner that we have permanent jobs at the end of the year. Hence the reduction in terms of the figures that we see here. Thank you.
The last part, as I've indicated, is just a sort of summary of the last part of our annual report around our total establishment sensitivity, people with disability, and then a spreadsheet around occupational bands. So it's just sort of a summary that we included for focus on the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A very comprehensive report given to us. Can we give opportunity to the members of the Select Committee and members, Honourable Lund, Honourable Ikhali, I don't know why which Munir name comes up whenever it's Ikhali, Mr. Munir, and the Honourable Father, and then Honourable Kevin. Can we, for the first round, say that let's take the three most important questions here and let's pose those, and then let's see if we have enough time to do the second round. Please, honourable. Please introduce yourself to the conference again. Okay, honourable Lord.
Thank you. My name is Jacques Lund, and I represent the Western Cape in the National Council of Provinces. Just on the National Tourism Information Gateway, and said that there's two at Parkridge and Owakambo International. What's the next three or four ports of entry that you're targeting, and by when are you planning to have that fully operational? I think there was quickly touched on Cape Town International, and there's another one that I think I missed, but if you can just help me with that. Then on page 49, just quickly touch on the registration fee for rural enterprises. What does that entail, and why was that raised? The tourism month, you mentioned two provinces that you have gone to and another one that you're going to. Now, we represent nine provinces here, and I'm sure all of us would like tourism month to take place in your own province. So if you have the planning going forward, that will be nice, and also just maybe a commitment that you are going to all nine provinces. And if not, why not? And then just last time you raised something about the top, you want to become a top 20 destination. And I think, and you can correct me again, we're currently top 30 or just in the 50. Now I see that only 2.5% of your budget is spent on the international market. Now, will we be able to get into that top 20 bracket with the current budget? And if not, are you planning to increase that? Sorry, I needed to say that at the beginning, but I appreciate it. Always nice working with this department. It's good to see that you involve everybody and that it's some presentation, so thanks for that.
Thank you. It was four questions.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for arriving late. I was trying to run away from the other meeting so that I can come and support you. I now see that the all proposals that you vote because I'm here. Yeah. And I want to focus my question on the under the domestic tourism. This is number one. We've been ever moving, and the situation that side has not, let me say, it will not accept more towards the way it is now. As we were going on top of the hill, except the road, but like it was not allowing us to travel smoothly. And another thing,
the different disabilities won't be able to see what is happening on top of the hill. And another thing, there's nothing that can affect the children at Mount Kumbui. So my question is, what is it that the department is intending to do in order to make sure that they pump a lot of money at Mount Kumbui? My colleague here was saying at Romanian case, you know, I'm from the Pope. And it's not that I'm biased, but I want at least the people of Limpopo to be able to at least get help, if I may put it that way. Because if there can be an improvement, obviously more people will get help at that time. And the other thing, even the elderly, they won't be able to see what is happening on top of the mountain. When we were going up, the stairs that we're using were like shaking. And I was thinking of going back because my kids are still young, but I said, hi, I'm not alone. Whatever happens will happen to all of us. And the other thing, the second question I have to say, is that when the department is having their tourism month, will they be able to invite the community so that we see what is happening during the celebration? And maybe they can even come back to Mokini. And
thank you very much. For the members to just know that, you see, the nice thing about the Mobo is that we have Queen Mutashita with full authority and honors as a queen. And we have our Honorable Dikhali, the also from the Royal House, and putting us under lots of pressure when we tell her about respecting the tradition. So when she raises the things as a particular passion, that comes with it. Honorable Sir.
Okay, you
can approve me.
Now, Pooja is getting an
he raised his hand, and I thought that maybe he wanted to speak before you. But go ahead, Honorable Timothy.
That's it. Just on the point of Mabunguwe, the signage from acting secretary from Urban Medina towards Mabunguwe. I don't know if that could be addressed really. I was told, you know, Donald Hutter, that it is in the DNA of human beings to play themselves naturally. Your report is very good. I am very curious to get the picture as the monitoring and evaluation department in the presidency. What is the score in a particular class course? We are told the department that gets scores and gets evaluated by that particular department. But by way of suggestion, Chair, I understood from the acting DG that the strategy of the department is due to review in 2015. If we want can perhaps make suggestion that we really become more ambitious at the core of the commander-in-chief, you know, that we become business as usual. In the form of maybe trying to, in the implementation plan, for instance, trying to put numbers in terms of the BE and specialist, the BE and the number of jobs that want to create out of the sector. The small enterprise that has developed by us and the job, the number of jobs that want to create at the department that is actually leading the sector. The other point I want to make with regard to what I want to suggest, that is also because it's a part of the view of the strategy, is that the department I know to doing some of the functions that have been to some extent, the Department of Economic Development is now shifting the economic development focus to the township. They say they want to grow the township economy. How do you think and how do you plan to couple with the development of the township economy with that of the tourism sector? How do you couple that? I don't know about level perhaps to cluster and someone help the government department if needed try to complement one another with regard to these transversal functions or formalities that tend to take cutting from the department. And how the department is talking about a township board that he wants to lodge. How do you see that as also encouraging tourism? And I am very curious to hear about the village board because I'm coming from a village. Will that work in your view or not? And come to the tourism as a sector. Yeah, these are a few points, and then I will come back later.
Thank you, Mr. Sir.
Thank you, Mr. I was appealing this presentation, the strategy which the Chinese own or their own rights to give us a clear picture. I was commending one of the departments in as far as the figure is concerned, or looking at your figure in terms of your spending patterns in relation to your projects, the programs. Well, if the odd personnel are just defined, in a tourism that giving you a clean audit, surely other departments must learn from yourself as to how you do it. Especially also the SOE, you have an SOE, which also is part of the department, that's a clean audit. That's a managing good project for best practice to be learned from by other departments. There are these matters that I wanted to check on the rural development department on the issue of the rural topic to pay more emphasis. Was already we have to shift to balance not be left out from the international competition and so on. Because there's a lot of pressure on the department when it comes from international speaking. Because many countries have got historical issues of just being allowed from the countries that they went to, like Tyre or Egypt, and the treaties and so on, and talk of the Greek islands and so on. So, pressure is one thing for South Africa to keep up. But also, Malaga is the wrong choice. I am just looking at the Eastern Cape, as far as maritime is concerned. Maritime policy. I'm not sure whether to what extent are you interacting with your counterpart in terms of the department, transport, maritime. Because that coastal land is very quiet. And there is a huge potential that can attract tourists through that project. Fortunately, the opportunity comes from that land. Your coffee bay, your name, the mountain, the eastern part, the coming up. What's the part? Very quiet. I'm not sure whether I have planned some interaction to estimate the coastal belts for tourists, attaching many tons between, for example, just being allowed between PE, Islander, or Islander, Tata, and going forward to Devon, or coming this way, Cape Bacala. You know, the Cape Bacala is that joins the two oceans and so on. We were very quiet about that. Tourists, maritime tourists. Are there any discussions around what are the plans, maybe going for 2020 and still that mission? My last on the stage. When at what stage, what season do we get the high volumes of tourists and the lowest volume of tourists? I'm trying to match this with your tourist month, international in September. And our promise at what stage to the travel of South Africa. Because so we need to be strategic when we do the case with the tourism, so that we don't bring it from outside our own station as South Africans to encourage them to talk our country. I feel that the department must do more on the heritage side. You know, sometimes we launch any project. But the question of sustainability comes into play. I'm just thinking of the Sara Balkan Heritage Site. The Sara Balkan Heritage Site, which was a huge project. But in between, it's relatively quiet. And if it was off M2, then you don't get that signage that tells you the direction to that end. But unless you get into that area of the Kamto River. So I'm saying we need to find a way. Either through the municipalities or somebody must take charge of that. Our heritage by itself has been raised by all of our colleagues here, the Queen of Papua, who knows the story, I'm not going to repeat it, but surely we need to elevate on top of your counterpart. I know the claim goes to African culture. maybe you need to talk to one another on the use of cars in terms of the road, the question of signage, and the group of life in this particular baseline, so that they don't die natural death and be resuscitated at a particular time. So maybe I want to ask another question in terms of the view of human domestic international setting. I want to get the figure in terms of our topic to South Africa. I want to raise up the job creation. And especially within the job creation, if you've got so much, I think it is specific that your employment strategy for permanent jobs, I understand it's about 2,000 plus permanent jobs. I want to link that to your target. What is your target for this financial in the employment of jobs? I know my colleague did link that, but I just pledge for it. Because the unemployment is very high, and this department can assist us in reducing the unemployment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Faber.
Thank you, Chair. My issue is about the visa regulations. With the new visa regulations, it is said that you can actually cut specifically the Chinese travel up to 70%, which is one of our biggest money spinners on tourism. And then on the e-visa, I want to know when this will be implemented, as it is actually both practice all around, which makes it much easier. Specifically, as we only have 126 missions, it makes it very difficult for people to actually go and fly. They have to actually, people abroad have to go to some other countries because not everyone's got a mission or a consul. So I would like to know if you have had meetings with them and these addresses and when this will be addressed. And I know Western Cape will be feeling the pinch on tourism, on the new visa regulations. Thank you.
Honorable Faber did not say that he's actually from one of the biggest provinces inside.
I think that you need the biggest province for the state.
Kevin, then, Honorable Faber.
Thank you, Chair. The other question that I'm going to pose to a letter that has been covered by the honorable members. The DTG one was presenting spoke about the endeavor by the government to achieve in a better practice. Am I not audible? When you were speaking earlier, you spoke about the universal access to tourism, and I would, as a first of that person, just in the future, how is that trimming down to what we want to achieve in terms of ruralization? I'm raising this because more often than not, when you visit the villages right in the most rural part of the country where you have tourism right in their face, most of the time those people don't even have access to those facilities. They don't even know what's happening there. And we are therefore not having it in those moving forward. But that also leads to the transformational agenda that the department wants to achieve part of it. I was listening to the minister when he was addressing you, Nira, who was speaking about transforming lives. How do we then do that? Tangibly, as the department. But also, as the last part, Chair, intersectoral contribution. We know that tourism is part of the contributor to our GDP. But how do you then link the issues of manufacturing for tourism and issues of agro-processing as part of this? And you spoke to a certain extent about that issue. How do we then expand and include intersectoral departmental relationships? The last is on the issue of regional integration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. This is our fifth department, and we really appreciate the presentation and the team orders and everything that goes with it. Well done. You, on page 19 or slide 19, you were talking about the four security tests and the risk assessments that you had done. Does that include your IT risk assessment and the necessary precautions that you've taken for your system? Sorry about that. Then when it comes to your, we just limited to three questions. Local tourism, local government tourism support. You've done the self-assessment too, and then you have now done the online portal for them to use. How is it going down with the municipalities? Because I fear that there are certain municipalities that are like Lachlan and George and the bigger ones that are housing and small cities. But I think the small rural municipalities don't quite cope. Or am I wrong in my assessment? How is it going in rural in 1% to supporting the system? And then lastly, your national visitor information framework and the report. When can we have access to that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond just now. I just wanted to comment. Honorable President, thank you for the good work and the good report, the unqualified audits of Honorable Deputy Minister. When we raise these questions, you see, it's because you have raised them up. You'll find that many of the questions are actually looking at how can we improve even further on that sterling work that you are already doing. If you will allow me to just add 2 points there. When you talk about the local government conference that's going to be held in February, we work very closely with the local governments as well. Can we just ask that you keep us informed of the arrangements that you, there might be some of the members that may want to attend that. My question, Honorable Vada, you see, I can't allow you to speak after the chairperson. I know that you did not raise your hand. The pros then settled. You are talking about the draft report. That's my one question. Can you tell us when we will have a final report on that? Thank you very much. Over to the Department of Tourism to respond, please.
Thank you very much. My colleagues will also come in and work on the discussion. This might take up issues related to the management issues, the conference, the government conference. There are the job, the number for the discussion. And because during the issues that should see them. I think that's something related to information. We saw the issue of recording by the presidency of the next chapter. Where are we in terms of recording the presidency? As you say, tourism one issue as well as the other further comes from the music.
Thank you, Chair. Here, the box done well, but there's an industry report that I think is applicable on my area. The first one about the risk assessment, the ones that have been done by SAT and NIA are linked to our website. Access control, managing secret documents, dealing with all those requirements about this. As far as IT is concerned, that's done by the audit general. So when they do the audit, they bring in experts to check whether there's no possibility of hacking into the IT systems, whether we are archiving them correctly, all of those issues. That was being done by the IT. But in fact, in the management report, they've only identified two areas that we need to improve. One is that when people resign, we keep them on our system, we take them off the system, but we keep them for 3 months, so that we can, if they need to be accessing the information, and they say, well, we need to look at that shorter that period. So I think that was the only real issue that we got from the IT environment. As you know, that IT, we've got transversal systems that are run by Treasury and CITA, and in certain that we done internally. So I think that from the hygiene support, with the high finally from DI and from tax support, to so sort of look at how we manage our facilities, how we manage documents, how we deal with all those sort of issues. So that is dealing on that matter. I think that we heard quite a few very positive remarks from the members around how we need sort of improve further. The reality we also need to bear in mind is that we just received our preliminary allocation letter for the new year, for the new NTF. The Department of Operational Budget is cut by 18 million. Now, if we look at what Ralph has presented, our operational budget is very small versus transfers to SAT, which are our marketing agent. For the first is 18 million, 23 million, and I think it's 45 million in the outlays due to the financial constraints here. So, as a department, we need to sort of decide on what is the priority. The minister, in fact, has also given us the marching orders along how we need to do. First, we need to look at what coming from the National Development Plan to drive the issues, and I think we have that picture. Ultimately, we have to ask and drive economic growth and job creation. So this way, we see we need to play a role from a tourism perspective. So, as a partner that we've just been through our strategic planning process, to focus where we need to focus, where we can have the impact. Now, as a national department, with concurrent functions, with provinces, we all need to sort of know where we can play and where we need to play with the provinces and local government around that issue. So, energy price and world energy price is high on our agenda as a department. So I think I can sort of confirm that on our agenda. But I think we also need to remind that world energy price are managed in accordance with the World Energy Act and the competency of the Department of Environment Affairs. They are the custodian of World Energy Sites. And their management authorities are appointed by that minister. But we can act as far as tourism is concerned. I think this is what Maloma has indicated, that we are looking at the funding inside the box. Because when you move outside the box, that falls within the Department of Transport mandate or local provincial mandate. So we need to be very cautious on what we can do from a tourist perspective, and that can be done by other spheres of government in relation like science. I think that's the principle that we will, as a department, and I don't want to be happy, but on the direction that we need to sort of focus on world energy and protected areas, so the national competencies that might fall within our domain as well. So I think that is important for us to know, and also what resources is available to address the issue. So there's also need to be a place in the process, because we start with the new five-year strategic plan that ultimately will take us to 2020 and how we deal with that issue as far as the department is concerned. Now, on the question of a good plan, I might say this is also very close to my heart, because I see some of the plans in mind. Working in that environment, sort of working at that facility. I think that is on the agenda. But again, resources will, financial resources and agreement with those management authorities will determine the successes. I must say that I climbed that view way back when I think it was almost just a road to get onto that mountain at Longton Cookery. So I've got that position there.
Can I just interrupt you on that? I thought you were going to mention to us as well that the department actually is looking at creating an accommodation centre close to Mokwe. I understand that you've got the resources allocated for that already.
I think we will respond to that part. I don't know whether you will deal with the tourism money, but as I can just say that tourism money. The decision that was taken, we've got 9 provinces, is correct, but then also most visited provinces and less visited provinces. The most visited provinces is Western Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal. So therefore, it was a decision taken by the MECs as part of the MINEC process that we will focus on the less visited provinces in the prescriptions, so that we can also take the meetings that our tourists do that, and this is now working on a professional system, with the agreement of the MECs, and as almost indicated, the present one that's happening is all intact, and that was also the first where certainty was also done as more sort of rural area. While the one in Fleetwood was our Golden Gate and Barrens, the one in Eastern Gate was East London. So we also trying to move into another sort of area around that. But it sort of takes that message further. I think one of the things I can also say that by direction of government is also to see how we can market the leading customers who are much better in all the provinces so that it becomes like, almost like the 2010 World Cup, something that everyone talks about. So something from our communication strategy we will have to sort of look into. Thank you, Chair. I think that I will listen. If there's anything that you think I'll not come back.
I wanted to speak while we were talking about Malcolm Kuruwe. Can I allow you to speak on that?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we do have a request from Malcolm Kuruwe. Fortunately, we visited Malcolm Kuruwe last year, and it was a Friday. The students were coming in the learner section around about 2 o'clock, and they were rushed so that they can go back. So when the proposal came to us, our table, to say they need hotel kind of accommodation for school going to IFA, there was a project that would really make sure that the kids go into Makungule. But at the same time, the issue of Richard is there, because we're saying if we are to assist to come up with this accommodation, will the relevant departments come up with the necessary maintenance? Because you don't want to put something on the ground and the next thing is not maintained. What is happening with the current revenue that's coming in? What is the story? So we delayed a bit so that we can get information out of it. And in a way we are convinced that it's something that we can do. And we do that through the FRI fund, where it will be able to bring more jobs, as Honorable Kada was saying. But the main thing is to ensure that our young people also go there. We will ensure that what we put on the ground must be accessible to all the people, because it's in line with the prescript of the building and the state. On the first month, I think, Derek indicated what is it that you are doing. We are not focusing on the big three, but we are going into the rural area. The reason why South Africa declared the tourism month is because we wanted to coordinate all activities that happen in each of the 9 provinces. So just before the start of the month, we usually have a New Year launch, and all provinces would have coordinated and communicated their activities. I think we can share with the honorable members even before the start of the month, so that they know what activities are there in each of the provinces. And in previous year or year before this one, we have provinces also consolidating their budgets, and there is a lineup in terms of communicating with media, and some of them will then be on one line, and all those systems of provinces, not necessarily money coming from the national department, until the culmination of the day of the 27th, which is the International Tourism Day, where provinces then would converge in that particular province that we have an annual event.
The focus on the heritage side, I think, is also something that is of priority to all of us. We are currently engaged with the Department of Transport in terms of signage, because it's also a big problem. Makungu already this current financial year will be looking into the issue of ensuring that it's signed properly. What are the requested policies is to identify attractions where there is a problem of signage, as well as a problem in terms of accessibility. We are hoping that we have that kind of data, we'll be able to engage with each other so that we focus our resources towards ensuring that we deal with this area where you know, most of our talk go through. There was an issue that even the Mandela paper bag, there's no signage for it going there. So those are the things that we're looking into. In terms of township economy, how do we react with the other departments? I think if the question went off provinces, because this is happening in provinces, it gets support. It's not an indicator to us, you need to be supported in this manner, so that you don't find yourself supporting them irrelevant. But once that kind of information comes on our space and we're able to find it properly, we will be able to.
Thank you, Chef. A lot of questions. Not enough time. I'll try to go through them quickly. Gateway. We did the pilot for OA. Our next one, which will be in a year's time, will be Kinshasa. And we are still in discussions with Cape Town. Cape Town will be another, but these three is what we're going to focus on in the 5 cities that we got. It takes quite a lot of intense negotiations and processes to actually get up and running. After which then we've got to learn from it and be able to see how to get it more effective. So the first question. The second question is talking to the destination airways. The figure of 32, which relates to the WTC, it's a mixed figure because it's what they're doing there using what different countries have reported, and in Spain, these countries have seen based on their reports. Some countries report a combination of figures, etc. We only report on the travelers, which puts up the best example. If we were to use that approach, would be a permanent thing. If that is the approach that we use. But the vision is not related to an exact spot in terms of the number of visitors that we see. It is about our competitiveness in specific areas that we have actually chosen to compete in. So an example that we gave previously, Chairperson, when we made that presentation, was that if we were to take wildlife as a competitiveness area for us, and we put it there and we say, globally, if someone wants to go and visit a country for wildlife, would South Africa be in the top 20 of those countries? And that's the context of the vision, and that is where we try to land. So every time a territory says, these are the things that we really want to compete on, those things we must make sure that we are just writing that in the top 20 list. But if we're talking about the actual figures to say how many people visit South Africa, especially the rest of the world, it would actually put us at number 19. The other issue that I thought we should talk to, the maritime tourism event, there are two aspects to it. Currently, we don't have South African owned ships. The only ship that is owned by South African is what belongs to Embankment Services. Not for cruise demand. Embankment Services, they are coming. Now, what is very encouraging is that those ships, they come, they dock, they take South Africans in, and they cruise with the South Africans, they come back, dock, and also the production. So put money into that ship and it goes to money. So from a promotional point of view, it would be difficult for us to take the fiscal and put it in there and say, South African is going into this thing. However, they are development opportunities there, but they are their costs, they are not cheap. Because it would mean we have to deal with the industry itself in terms of shipbuilding, the capacity in the country. But the money that we need to put into this is quite a lot of money spent. At this point in time, at the department in our resources, the type of thing is not going to contribute to this.
But the different provinces that are coastal, they look at their within the domain, the environment within. But in some senses, others might be one who's just deal with the old yard and so on. But as it relates to ships, it's not like that. It's a problem that's normal. The US at some point was also saying they are facing a lot of problems with the cruise ships because they are not regulated and people are not insured. They go in there and something happens. Ultimately, they're not going to care about it because there's somebody who's going to account for it. Not as it's like that. Not as it's like that. Then there are issues of they differ, well, the main season obviously but they differ from market to market. Probably a question that would be better answered by Southern Tourism. But you would find, for instance, the Japanese market is more or less present. You would find the European, our farm is there with them. You get a lot of European tourists. The Indian, for some reason, is soon to buy videos. So the operator, they know which market wants to clear with kinds of problems. They're able to try and weigh this thing in terms of when they go and stop the market and so on. There's an issue about visa. The current position. Firstly, I should state that there is a lot of discussions that is taking place in our country, a lot, on that condition. And some of the results that we see actually is partly attributable to those discussions. The current position, as we have called probably seen only the media one. The Minister of Commerce has announced that he is not implementing those provisions as of now. So they have been that particular serious and only going to be the presence of main not. So that is why the point I'm trying to make is that all these discussions are actually happening collegiate. Ultimately, they result in particular positions being taken. So, as of now, in terms of the impact and so on, the market is not after that announcement. So, in that particular case. But it's also discussions that have been having with the industry. Even at the technical level, there's a lot of engagement that are taking place between the industry as well as the officials from the affairs as well. Local governments support, yes, they are different. Would be interested in having local government support. I mean, local government conference. There are different levels of the question that I'm standing in there. There are different levels of support required for different types of manufacturing. In cases of metals, it is really cooperation and collaboration. But when we go to smaller manufacturing, the whole different working. We would like to be in all these manufacturing. But we just don't have the resource pool to be able to do that. We've got 284 some point where when we started taking a different approach in terms of how we support, we realized that it would take us 5 years if we were to be in one municipality at least one week. If we were to go to each municipality at least a municipality in a week, it would take us a full 5 years. So what we need to do is to promote these tools and to make sure that the technical people, these people that we train, are more familiar with these tools and they are able to make use of these tools in terms of getting the information into it. And it will probably then be able to. So it's going to develop through a process. The last one is
we're doing an analysis of where the opportunities could lie and who could be in a position to get into that discussion and provide the necessary support. So the exhaustive process of analyzing it and saying this looks feasible, that looks feasible, we are probably going to be in a position to say this by the end of the financial year. Which is the question.
Any other members that feel that your question is not sufficiently answered?
Chairman, sorry, the question about the presidency.
Okay. Yeah, you see, the CEO has done such a good job with Tanta not allowing to get his part, so please.
Thank you, dear. I just want to indicate that the 2.5% for international budget, the SA200 budget rise in program 2 policy and health services, that is 866 million rand.
Honorable, you were just pointing me to him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much. Colleagues? Okay. We 2 minutes past our time. But let's have you first. I know that I'm sure that the Deputy Minister would want to have a last word on it. So let's have you and the head teacher.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question around the job creation target for the department. And the target in the current financial year is 4,369.
You reporting on that for 2012 study.
The question was around the job creation target for this current financial year.
For 2014 study?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I wanted to check on the president. We have a responsible. The performance in terms of the ranking.
I don't know about the president, but what we do know is around the impact where they've done a performance assessment in the previous year. We were part of the top six. I don't know where we've been, that was several times from now. So, but we were in that sort of range as far as compliance with the monitoring and planning unit as far as the part is concerned. Exactly more on predetermined objectives and into the classroom system, but I haven't got anything from President. So.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's not been a time constraint to try to get into every detail of the questions that have been asked, but thank you very much for the kind of questions that have been asked. Chair, we take seriously your interest in coming closer to hearing the conferences and also understanding all the activities that I think we'll share with the committee on such, and we will convey the minister on the issue of the invitation, especially to the conference and the National Tourism Month. Will the department have information? But besides the figures that they're actually giving around what the actual department figures are, we are working with the private sector and also other government departments. In the review process of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, we have to align it with the National Development Plan, which means we need to even review the kind of figures that we have set ourselves up to 2020 in terms of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. So our 5-year strategy will reflect on the latest that we can be broken down in terms of the yearly figures. And there has been a comment around the products that would entail your township tourism, that would entail your rural tourism, because provinces are different. So we are encouraging our province to come with unique products so that you are able to attract tourists into your area. I know for a fact that in areas like your KwaZulu-Natal, township tourism is part of their domestic tourism strategy, and it is working. If you go to Mlanzi, not a thing of the top politicians who go to KwaZulu-Natal is to go to Mlanzi. and the comments so in policies of it, you know, in the townships, the township tourism. So provinces have unique programs that they are selling that they add into the basket of the programs that they have, which we encourage them. In the last 2 days, last week I was in Northwest, where they are coming up with a rural model. So whenever provinces can come up, we look into such initiatives and see within what they are doing in the department, but that should be part of the urban plan of the province and the province and indicate and see where to support. On the issue of the Chinese and the issue of the cards in terms of the numbers, we really look in what is happening because China is one of our core markets, the fourth source market for the country. So we all pay attention to what is happening because the whole world wants to take on to China. I've recently been in China just after the introduction of the immigration regulation. The most issue with the Chinese is Ebola than the immigration regulation. It's Ebola than the immigration regulation. So if the Minister of Health spent about 3 weeks in China explaining on this Ebola thing, and the measures that we put. So we are looking into it, just like in all our team markets, working with the Department of Home Affairs. We monitoring the issue of the implications of the immigration regulations, but I can tell the first issue of Chinese is Ebola than the immigration regulations. So we are monitoring, we are not taking it lying down, we made our proposals to the Department of Home Affairs. It's a continuous process and it links to the work that we are doing that constantly we relate and work closer to departments that impact on us, bringing in volumes into the country. Your Department of Transport, your Department of Home Affairs, and all relevant departments, just like we have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Arts and Culture in order for us to be able to get into their heritage site in order to bring more towards and maintain some of its heritage sites. So with our plan moving forward and part of the incentive program, heritage sites have been prioritized by the National Department. And if I may just finish with the kind of comparison that one of the speaker was, I don't know whether it was one of the speakers, for instance, you're talking 24 million trips that were taken, and you're talking 13 million tourists that came into the country, that's the kind of figures you're talking about. And I just make an example to say, according to our tourism satellite account in 2012, overall contribution of tourism into the GDP for both domestic and international tourism was about 93.3 million, which was 30 billion, which was about 3% into the GDP. So 24.3 billion was from domestic tourism. So you can because domestic tourism will be talking some less expenditure than you talk in international tourists coming to the country. On the issue of universal accessibility, what has happened already on the is that even in terms of our grading council, it has been added as one criteria for our establishment so that it is taken into consideration that people have to make this universal accessibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think that we are enjoying each other's company and learning so much from each other. Can you bear with us just for 3 minutes while we deal with some internal matter? I wanted you to suggest so that we can create
reaching properly. The first colleagues, honourable members, we have an invitation here to a meeting tomorrow between 12:30 and 2 from the minister, Rob Davis, inviting us. The meeting is going to be held in room E249. Actually, the first story is what it is about that when we system. It is going to be sharing with us his decision on the temporary suspension of the National Assembly Board. Room E249 tomorrow, 12:30 to 2 o'clock. For those members who wish to attend, I know that for many of us, all of us, we have to be by quarter to number 2. There is no compromise on that, because we have all our previous that will deploy us if we want to invest them by the
Okay, I thank you for the invitation, but you must please accept my apologies. I really have something else on at that time, but I think it is worthwhile that the committee attend, even though I will not be there.
That was the one comment that I wanted to make now.
For you to indicate to the minister that you're going to walk out before the meeting ends, so that he knows.
Okay, if I'm going to be there.
No. I want you to make an indication, even if you're not in there. Because I'm not going to keep everyone in just time. We'll go, but we're going to walk out before the meeting ends.
If I'm not there, I have an inkling in my head that I committed myself to something else that is not on the program for me. Can I then, in conclusion, I wanted this recorded, and therefore I'm raising it now. I am very unhappy that we have still not received the report of the provisions. It was too last request, and we just wanted it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the Deputy Minister and the colleagues from the department. If we bump into you at any resort in December, know that your seat that you sow here has fallen on the fruit of the land.
Unhappy man, you didn't ask for action. I don't quite understand. Are we going to put our foot down or say it's going to be with us right tonight?
Do you have a proposal from that?
That's my proposal.
Then we have it.
Right tonight. Any technology?
Any technology? You have the request from the
council.
Our secretary just wanted to raise something with regard to it. It wasn't me.
Thank you, Madam Committee. Well, we do acknowledge the request that the report has been available. But in terms of, the procedure that it is having a full administrative that kind of way, the report should be available within 2 days. But that's everything. The report is available, it is with our condolence. I know that it is when we distribute it, that will be a final thing on our side. The report is available.
You should not have responded. Just give us what you have tonight.
Yeah.
Fine tonight. Any closing of that, please, honourable member.
Or are you saving the letters?
Sorry? I'm saving them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to be nice. Okay. Can we then discuss?
I'm
you start wishing people
festive season for the president. I hope to see you before that month is done. I hope that you have a pleasure.
Because I'm doing it tomorrow. And yeah,